Good evening, everybody. It's just gone past 7:15, so we'll kick off. My name's Siddharthan Chandra, and I'm a neurologist here in Edinburgh. It's a very great pleasure indeed to be here and to be able to welcome our speaker, our very distinguished speaker, Professor Ray Chowdhury, of which more later. As you know, I'm just the warm-up act, and it's the warm-up act in two parts. The first task is to tell you the usual housekeeping rules. So I need to tell you to switch off your phones, your mobile phones. If you haven't, it'd be good if you could at least put it onto silence. And the second, just like on Ryanair, fire exit. How do we do it? Like that, all right? I won't tell you how to put on a life jacket. So that's one part of my job done. It really is terrific to be able to say something about Professor Chowdhury. The tradition at these sort of forums, when you've got a top-notch speaker, is to rattle off all their achievements. Now, if I was to do that, I'd occupy the entire course of his lecture. Professor Chowdhury is based at King's. He's had many successes, and I'm sure, looking pretty young, Ray, I'm sure there are many more successes to come. But I think the key things to emphasise are this is a bloke who's a professor of neurology who's made major contributions to the study of Parkinson's disease, both in symptomatic research but also in clinical trials. And I think for this audience, which I imagine has a lot of patience, given the nature of the organisation of this meeting, and that allows me to acknowledge three groups of people who pulled together this meeting, the Parkinson's UK Edinburgh branch, particularly the research subgroup, the Lothian Service Advisory Group for Parkinson's Disease, and also the MRC Centre for Regenerative Medicine, which is part of the University of Edinburgh, and Tilo, who's a colleague and friend who's here, is our link to that, and I know works and benefits hugely from both engaging and interacting with you all, and you've also been very generous in your support of Tilo's work. So that's to acknowledge the organisers of this. But coming back to Professor Chowdhury's achievements, and I think whoever decided to have Ray speak today was really rather far-sighted, because what Professor Chowdhury, his area of study and what he's going to talk to us about, would have been an area, despite it initially being acknowledged in the very first letters or studies of Parkinson's disease, going back to the essay on shaking palsy, when in addition to the obvious, the motor manifestation of this disease, there was a description then about autonomic problems and I think sleep disorder. So that's going back to 1817. We're now in 2013. My maths was never good, but that's nearly 200 years. And the non-motor manifestation of Parkinson's disease have been, to an extent, largely forgotten. And when Professor Chowdhury started his game, working in non-motor systems would have been seen, I suspect, as a rather marginal and at the fag end of cutting-edge research. But actually, as we were talking, it is absolutely mainstream. And it's mainstream for three reasons. Non-motor symptoms, whether they're anxiety, autonomic, sensory, sleep disorders, represent a major part of the burden or the disability of patients. So it's obviously very important for that reason. And therefore, you need to be able to measure it, study it, analyse it, but it also needs to be an outcome measure in trials. Because if you're really going to make an impact in trials, you need to do something about that, because that's what's impacting on people's day-to-day lives. The other reason is, historically, you've had non-motor symptoms and you had motor, and motor has been classically linked to the dopaminergic pathways. We're familiar with that. And it's been convenient to think of non-motor system problems as non-dopaminergic, but of course it's not so simple. The dopaminergic striatal pathways and the basal ganglia, these things don't work or live in isolation. The brain is organized in terms of systems and networks. And what we've got to learn, and we've got a lot more to learn, is that the dopaminergic systems, including the basal ganglia, are critical in modulating what you might regard as non-motor systems. So there's also a window into the pathophysiology. The other crucial point is some non-motor systems, think of olfaction, the ability to smell, perhaps even sleep, RBD, are potentially very powerful biomarkers for this disease, because in a substantial subgroup of patients, Ray will tell us a lot more, these manifestations, olfaction, for example, problems with sleep, predate the motor manifestations, which in turn tends to lead to the diagnosis, by years, I think. So if we're after biomarkers, early discovery of the disease before it's obviously motor manifest, which would be the best time to have a disease intervention, you really need to think about non-motor systems. So Ray, it's very a great pleasure to be able to welcome you, and we're grateful for you speaking. I do think what was once, I think, a marginal area is absolutely slap bang in the centre. In fact, it's in the lead area, because your studies will improve the care of patients, the measurement of success of trials, but crucially also shine a window and a light into the biology. Because this disease, as we also know, is not restricted to one network. It is a diffuse brain disorder, and non-motor symptoms are simply a manifestation of that. So with that note, I'd like to welcome you to give your lecture. Thank you very much.